Welcome one and all to a new day, a new week here at the Damage Report. I'm John Iadarola, very lucky to be joined even more remotely than usual by the host of the Bituation Room, Francesca Fiorentini. Francesca, how's it going?
It's good. I realized as the camera was about to go on me that I have just cinnamon sugar all over my mouth.
People have such a high opinion of it. Yeah, they probably think you always do. Just for the fun of it. Anyway, it's the best flavor combination ever, and it's not in nearly enough things.
Yes, and it should always be around your mouth. No judgment. I mean, honestly.
Just smeared, honestly. People put color. They put scents. Yeah. Why not flavors? Honestly, why is our makeup not as flavor focused as it could be?
Yeah. Just anyway. Little bits of food you can slowly lick off your face during the hour. That's what I
want. 100%. I don't watch much CNN or MSNBC, but I'm pretty sure this is how most of their shows start. Anyway, thank you everyone for being here. I'm John. We're gonna be talking about politics today. And we actually have a lot to get into. Updates on the legal struggle of Alex Jones, the financial struggle of Alex Jones, apparently. Matt Gaetz caught on a hot mic. It's better than some of the things he could have been caught on, I guess, considering the investigations into him. We've got a Monday Menace for you. We've got animal news for you if you're tuning in for the full extended show. So lots to look forward to. In advance of that, if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button and sharing the stream, that'd be great so that people get their notifications, know that we're live, and they can join us. And we can have fun discussing the hell that is our world. With all that said, though, Francesca, are you ready to talk about some news?
Sure. Let's do it.
Oh, also one more notice. This is a tease for the audience and also a reminder for Francesca, just in case she hasn't thought about this yet. We're gonna be doing a top 10 list after the show today. And it was one that came up organically actually during last week's top 10 list. We're gonna be running down 10 words ruined by the internet. Words that at one point had a meaning and then people got a hold of it and just drained every drop of juice out of it. So we're gonna be discussing that a little bit later on. That'll be available to our tier 2 and tier 3 members on YouTube. Now, with all that said, why don't we jump into this?
I'll go down hard though. I'll fight it right to the bitter end.
Yeah, but I don't think you're gonna go down at all at the end of the day.
Well, we'll see. We're 3 weeks from trial.
Yeah.
I mean, I may have to appeal to the big man because it's the District of Columbia. We surveyed 120 jurors. 90 of them know who I am and they hate my guts. Voluntarily.
I don't think the big guy can let you go.
So in that audio picked up on a hot mic, you hear Roger Stone, Matt Gaetz, and references to the big guy and the boss. That's them talking about Trump. And might I add, oh God, this is how they talk to each other about this guy when they think they're alone. Mm-hmm. I assumed a lot of their supposed love and admiration for Donald Trump was like feigned for the crowd. They actually seem to look up to him, and that is a massive indictment of their character and personality. But anyway, it is substantive because what you're hearing right there is a bit of a 25-minute recording. See, Roger Stone was wearing a lapel mic for a Danish film crew.
Nice.
And at some point, I guess he forgot that he was wearing audio recording equipment. But anyway, Stone was he was on trial at that point. We're gonna get into some of those details. And there you have Matt Gaetz, another close associate of Trump, seeming to assure him that maybe the big guy, maybe the boss will get involved if you don't flip. And Roger Stone is reassuring Matt Gaetz that he would never flip. Because, and I can't stress this enough, he is implying that there is things he could reveal. There is truth that could be revealed, but he will deny that to the criminal justice system out of loyalty to Trump. And we're all just supposed to accept that all of this is fine. The fact that Roger Stone is obviously and explicitly concealing information about that which he was on trial for. And Matt Gaetz feels like personal loyalty to Trump and not revealing the truth in exchange for, well, as we'll get to, very valuable favors from Donald Trump is perfectly acceptable. So it's been a couple of years. Let me catch you up on what he was on trial for. Stone's known Trump for literally decades at this point. He was charged by the Mueller investigation with lying to Congress about his communications with Trump's campaign regarding the WikiLeaks release of emails about Hillary Clinton. If you recall, those began like an hour after the infamous Billy Bush tape came out. Total coincidence and all that. Stone was eventually convicted, as they predicted in that hot mic audio, on 7 felony counts, sentenced to 40 months in prison. But Trump commuted his prison sentence and eventually pardoned him. So he made clear in public that he didn't want Stone to reveal things. Stone assured Trump associates in private that he wouldn't, in exchange for, well, we're not making it explicit. And then he was pardoned. He's out. He doesn't have to serve that time for it. All of this is now even more explicit out in the open than it was before. And we're just cruising on. And I guess this will be in the news for another day or so. And then that'll be that. What do you think?
Yeah, we have been ruled by Batman villains for 4 years. Like that's the kind of conversation. Hey, the Penguin would always let you off, boss. It's like we're getting together and you've got like your Joker's over there and Mr. Freeze and whomever else. And, you know, don't at me with what I'm getting wrong. But like
Poison
Ivy's there. You know, but Stone is Bannon-esque in that he wants to be a martyr. He's got a tattoo of Nixon on his back, dude. He can't wait to get a tattoo of Trump on his you know where. You know, so like he is just excited to go to prison for this guy, right? Like I think he'd be fine with it. But he was, in fact, one of the few back channels between the Trump campaign and yes, WikiLeaks and potentially Russian hackers, right? Like this is all stuff that of course the dear Robert Mueller could not charge a sitting president with, but everything was there. Oh my God. So it just makes sense, of course. And yeah, I think we're supposed to ignore it. But man, if you're building a case against Matt Gaetz, this does not look good for you. If you're building a case against, I mean, Roger Stone's gravy, right? You know, Giuliani, not so much. He didn't get that pardon. Gaetz and his homie Joel, I can't remember, you know, when pedophile, I don't remember the last name of pedophiles. It's like this weird thing.
Greenberg.
But yes, thank you. So yeah, I don't think it looks good for Matt Gaetz, but it's just so funny. I think you're right. Like imagining like you get into the mob room, you get into that big level meeting and Trump's the boss. And he's like, there's not enough ketchup here. You know, where's my, like, how do you have respect? Like at least Tony Soprano was an SOB, but like, you know, he commanded some respect.
Exactly. He had some endearing qualities. We should have like a long list of the things where it's like, as a regular person, you look at it and you say, really? They can just do this. Okay, we're moving on. We'd never get away with any of this. Like, can you imagine if you or I did this? But for them, not so much. And that would be bad enough if the Republican Party, if the right largely, would just be honest about what they actually want, what they actually oppose, what they actually support. They like this. They love this. They want people like your Matt Gaetz, your Roger Stones, your Tucker Carlson's, all that, being able to get away with literally anything they want because they're rich and powerful and influential. And so the rules shouldn't apply to them. That's what they actually believe. But it's salt in the wound when they keep pretending that they're against the swamp or the establishment or whatever. What? How do you get more establishment than literally laws do not apply to you because you're rich and because you know the president? You can literally like on tape say you're gonna lie and you get a pardon. You wouldn't be able to. And I'm not even talking to like members of the Dragon Squad. If you're a conservative, you're watching this, you would be in prison, but they won't. Because they're a band of brothers of corruption and they will defend each other. And that's what they did. Gaetz, by the way, is a member of the House Judiciary Committee. He's gonna be on the Judiciary Committee after this tape, revealing clearly what he thinks about the criminal justice system and your obligations to be a part of it. Anyway, by the way, at that point, when he was doing this talking with Stone. So Stone's got his own concerns at that point. He's on trial, but understand the context. They were investigating whether Trump might have obstructed justice. This is the most obvious obstruction, like not just Trump, now add Gaetz to it. They both did. What is witness tampering?
Yeah.
If it's not these sorts of conversations, assuring people that they will not have to spend time in jail if they go along with what the big boss, the big man says. Anyway, Gates says he wasn't speaking on Trump's behalf there. Okay, it's convenient. Stone won't even respond to it. He'll like criticize the media, but he won't respond to the actual what he said there. And the thing is, honestly, why would they? Why would they? They literally can just move on. Tomorrow, the next day, there was barely any conversation about this over the weekend after this story broke. You think in a week it's gonna be a thing? We throw it out there as a like, what? But surely this will get through to people. It's witness tampering caught on tape, but it's almost certainly not going to.
That's the thing. The best part about this is that Matt Gaetz didn't get a pardon and Roger Stone did. So let's just like, that's funny.
That's true. That is funny.
And Matt Gaetz is on tape going like, oh, you'll totally get one. The big man, he's got you. He doesn't got you, bro. But you're exactly right. This is a sitting congressperson. Like, this man should not be allowed to run again. He should be nowhere near political office. And like, the fact that we don't have any checks and balances, that it is completely okay to treat the White House like a mob family, like a crime family. And if you're a sitting congressperson, you're either in or you're out, is absolutely insane. And if one tape of something similar leaked, if Pelosi's back there going like, I'll give you all the ice cream you want, you know, and like and like talking to Michelle Obama or something like this, like it would be over. It'd be curtains for the entire thing. But no, these guys are allowed. And that's the thing. It's not only like hypothetical, oh, they throw you under the bus. Look at January 6th. Look at all the low level fools who have been caught up in this. And yes, they broke the law, but like, are we gonna see the mid-level fools? Are we gonna see the dark money organizations and the heads of those? Are we gonna see the congresspeople who aided and abetted the Stop the Steal rally and the violence that ensued?
Yeah.
We shall see.
Not so much. I love it, like the corruption is even lame on the Democratic side with Nancy Pelosi. Like,
choose your path carefully. You can take the high road or you can take the rocky road.
Anyway, no, like imagine if it was Hunter Biden caught on a hot mic, like, you know, just hide our secrets about the secret economic deals in Ukraine and the big glasses guy will take care. Can you imagine? But again, it can't really even be hypocrisy when they don't even claim to have actual principles. Alex Jones is filing for bankruptcy, sort of, in certain contexts. And it might not accomplish for him legally what he would hope, but it does add a new wrinkle to his ongoing defamation lawsuits that he has in regards to him claiming that Sandy Hook and, in fact, every shooting ever was a false flag. In this case, the parent company of InfoWars, Free Speech Systems, filed for bankruptcy this week. This is in advance of, we're gonna figure out how much he's gonna owe to the families of his defamation. He faces up to $150 million in this case. We're pending on that. But here, let's talk about the bankruptcy. Free Speech Systems, according to him, has $14 million in assets, $79 million in liabilities. I don't take anything in these filings as a given. But how exactly would you end up in that financial situation? First of all, how has he generated literally millions of dollars? That is insane. You have to sell a lot of gorilla bone supplements and stuff like that to raise $14 million. But he has. Now, it's not going to affect the current defamation trial. But this is also not the first time a company tied to him has moved towards bankruptcy. A couple months ago, they had been floating bankruptcy as a way of getting out of the entire thing. A judge overruled that. They couldn't get out of the entire thing. But there's three other companies tied to Alex Jones that have been filing for bankruptcy recently. None of those are going to pause the current litigation. But anyway, we've got a statement from the families that I thought was great. They're one of the only groups giving me hope in this society right now. So their statement says, just 2 days before jury selection is due to begin in Connecticut, Mr. Jones has once again fled like a coward to bankruptcy court in a transparent attempt to delay facing the families that he has spent years hurting. These families have an endless well of patience and remain determined to hold Mr. Jones accountable in a Connecticut court. And I have no doubt about that. First of all, they've been dealing with this for literally years, so I'm sure that their patience muscles have been well strengthened. But also, considering the massive tragedy that they faced, the injustice that they faced ever since, he's also created in himself like the only thing they can go for to try to get a sense of justice at this point for all that's been stolen from them, not only their family members, but the years of harassment and having to move and all that. Like, what else are they supposed to do now except try to get this guy for as much as possible? And that's what he created for them, Francesca.
Yeah, you know, a group of people you don't want to piss off is people who have very little left to live for. And when you take someone's child at the age of 6 through mass gun violence in a senseless murder, and then tell them that they actually made up that murder, I don't want to tangle with those parents. And guess what? A lot of them have been, of course, for years. I'm thinking of Leonard Posner, who won his case in 2019 against Alex Jones, one of the many cases. This is a man who lost everything, who had to move multiple times because of harassment, of being doxxed, of going online, of like going into the belly of the beast, into the mouth of this disgusting conspiracy theory and trying to implode it. And he successfully did, at least in the court of law. And you gotta admire someone like that. And yet the amount of drive and years and time it took and it is taking for these families to get justice is just beyond me. So, I mean, I hope there's a way that we can all, you know, hear this testimony. Like, I mean, this is the thing for me. It's like, I ever since January 6th, I'm like, let me hear everything. I want to hear from the parents of mass shooting victims about the amount of misinformation and what that has done to their lives and what people like Alex Jones, because there's so many others of them, like what they've done. So anyway, hats off to them and lol for Alex Jones. He'll be back somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I mean, he hasn't even committed what should pass for the deadly sins of others like Steve Bannon. All he did was lie, and that is not a sin from the point of view of the right. That's the only thing they want, is people who will lie to them, about them, lie to steal their money. So he did that, and so they're still gonna love him. Like, if he, let's say that they do successfully drain him of every single dollar, he'll raise $20 million the next day. Look at the amount he's been raising during this trial. He's been appealing to his followers. He got an $8 million cryptocurrency donation. That's a thing that you can do. You can just hand over $8 million in cryptocurrency. We'll never know who did it. And that's not supposed to be suspicious. No, but like, think about that. If you can do that and it's just cool, what can't you do in terms of funding media? Like, think about how important media is and the messages that people get across. Like, there are disclosure requirements and things like that when it comes to campaign finance, when you're directly financing like PACs as well as the actual campaigns and some of the organizations that run them. So in some cases, but when it comes to media, you can just literally hand over millions of dollars to a person who's finally facing justice for years and years of like murderous lies about these people. Mm-hmm. And that is convenient to some people to have an Alex Jones out there. Who else is it convenient for certain sides to have? And they can just hand over money. So he's done that. He says he's spent $15 million already on legal bills when it comes to this. Goddamn, lawyers are expensive. But stop for a second. Is it kind of weird that we live in a world where maybe some of you remember when Sandy Hook happened? How devastating that was. I'm from Connecticut, so it burned into my memory. That started a chain of events of Alex Jones lying about these people for years and years and years, harassing them, running them all across the country, finally a legal process over years. And all of that shooting results in tons of lawyers buying yachts. Mm-hmm. Such a weird world we live in.
And the last thing I was gonna say is, I mean, in terms of the media and who's benefiting, like, let's keep it real and talk about the platforms like YouTube, like Facebook, who are making hand over fist money from these lies. And it took this father, Leonard Posner, in 2019 to get Alex Jones off of YouTube. And yes, When you deplatform someone, people can absolutely find your lies elsewhere. However, I would very much argue that deplatforming is a strategy that works. It took money out of Alex Jones's pocket. It prevented people from finding his lies and conspiracy theories. And that is thanks to the father of a kid who was slain, having to, again, sacrifice literally everything. But guess what? YouTube wasn't going to do that on its own. Google wasn't going to do that on its own. Meta, Zuckerberg, you think Jack was gonna do, like, kick Trump off Twitter on his own? No, it had to take a near coup for him to do that. And, oh, by the way, a lame duck coup. Who knows if Trump was actually still president? Of course he'd be still on Twitter. It doesn't matter. So, so we have to remember, like, who's really benefiting from this. And sadly, the algorithm pushes the most outlandish crap out there.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, he is mostly off of those things, but I know there have been very long periods where his stuff was still getting posted constantly on YouTube and on channels that can monetize off of it. That's been true of, like, so even when they do allow people to be taken off, you always have to follow up and watch because they're not nearly as vigilant about that as one would hope. Now, really fast, I just want to give you a little bit more on what he's been doing as his trial's been proceeding. So this dude, I don't know if you know this, he loves duct taping his own mouth. It's actually my favorite characteristic of him. You can see in the shot, he's got save the first right there, implying that his free speech rights are being violated. Which I think is a good point because as we all know, there are no limitations whatsoever on the First Amendment. You can say literally anything. You can shout fire in a crowded theater. That's exactly what people are arguing is happening here, that he is directly and intentionally for profit mobilizing his viewers to harass and threaten the parents of mass shooting victims. There are some limitations. I think that that's a reasonable one. He recently went on to Steve Bannon's podcast. I just love the combination of Alex Jones and Steve Bannon. You can see there, Steve Bannon said, "They're so scared of you." No, dude. You're not scared of Alex Jones. They don't want him to continue to tell lies that cause people to do murderous, like death threats and things like that for you. Is there an element of fear? Well, I guess I don't want your viewers to murder people. I guess I'm scared about that, but not in the way that you seem to be saying. But I love that combo, Francesca, because you have Alex Jones, a guy who only has a cent to his name because of his willingness to lie to these people. Talking with Steve Bannon, a guy who literally conned them. Everyone knows that he conned them out of millions of dollars and still has a show and still has an audience. They don't care that he robbed them of money, and not just generally robbed them of money that they wanted to use to build a wall, which they think is the only infrastructure project that should ever be funded so that he could buy a yacht. But they hate coastal elites. We know that.
I feel bad when, like, in my bonus content for my Patreon, like, I forget whether someone's running as a Democrat or Republican, or like I get a fact wrong based on like that's the level of, oh my God, you paid for this. Thank you for supporting me. I can't believe I did anything to, lower you and your precious $5. Like that's my level of mania about trying to be, a responsible media figure with a fraction of the following, a fraction of the clout that someone like Steve Bannon is. But again, what is the kink, man? What's the kink where you like to be grifted upon? And like, let's be real, the kink is white supremacy. When someone can sell you a basket of lies, a framework of thought of othering immigrants, people of color, and lifting up straight, cis, white, rich men, buy it, bro, buy it. Put that on a shirt and you'll, get yourself a lunchbox, get yourself that tactical gear, and that's it. And as long as you're listening to that. Yeah. Get that, though, them frog liver supplements. I don't know if those are the ones that turn you gay. I can't remember. Or they undo the gayness.
No. They do, but they have a lot of B vitamins in them. So, you win some, you lose some.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, it's just, oh, God. So popular. And I get that there's some people that don't think about the political side of it. They just think it's entertaining to hear a crazy person break down and sweat on camera. But it's the, like, remember, he isn't just that. Tucker Carlson elevates him, talks on his show about how reputable he is. Glenn Greenwald, you know, just did that like fawning interview with him. Trump saying that this is a guy you should trust. This is the guy who talks about late, like before Marjorie Greene was talking about Jewish space lasers, Alex Jones is the one talking about lasers from space or maybe Antarctica, he's not sure. But John Kerry has a laser that can be used to combine hurricanes or separate them. I don't know, maybe it's two different lasers, maybe it's one. This is the sort of stuff that they're talking about. Anyway, we're gonna see what ends up happening. Even if they get the $150 million, he's gonna find, people are desperate to hand these grifters their money, and I will never understand that. Anyway, with that said, we are gonna go to our first break. When we come back, we're doing our continued coverage of golf. It has suddenly become incredibly politically relevant. We're gonna be diving into why after this.
Yeah, just having a little fun at the golf course, having a little fun.
That was Donald Trump and Tucker Carlson and Marjorie Greene. They're having a great time with the Let's Go brand and all that at this golf tournament thing that's backed by Saudi money. I want to show you a picture. Yep. I want you to take a look at this picture of them hanging out and having a grand old time. Let me bring it up. And you'll see Tucker Carlson doing his trademark screech. He cosplays as like a populist on TV. Remember, he's the guy that gets regular conservatives who've been left behind. There he is schmoozing with the former president, who's a billionaire, and other millionaires and billionaires at a golf tournament backed by Saudi money, when all of these people, this movement, used to think that they had an issue with the Saudis. I don't know. And I bring up that picture just to remind conservatives, to the extent that they might watch this, that these are not your people. Like, the whole thing about them being with you or like you, sharing your values or whatever, you get that that's branding. That's like what you put on the one sheet before you launch the show. That's not a thing that means anything. Tucker Carlson isn't going to go hang with you and play golf. Trump is not gonna spend time with you. They're with their rich friends. That's all it is. Everyone in there has no greater concern in their life than that their taxes might at some point go up. That's it. They're living the high life. They're wealthy. They're removed from all the troubles of the world. They're just going off for weekends to play golf together and those sorts of things. And meanwhile, they will occasionally use the word elites on their shows, and that convinces millions of Americans that know they're secretly on our side. And I should support them rather than politicians like progressives who might actually want to pass legislation that improves the economic quality of my life. In regards to your wages, your healthcare, your ability to get a house, the high cost of housing and rent and all that. And like, yep, that sort of stuff is a breakthrough, Francesca. They see that and they just think it's the fun times. They don't get the cost of a party like that, what it represents for these people.
Because they're their elites. I mean, that's at the end of the day, they're loyal to their elites, and it's okay when their elites rob them because they're their elites. And say what you will about the left, we're not beholden to our elites. We hate it when our elites rob us, if we have any sense. And more we are getting that sense. A couple things about that photo. You know that breath is nar-nar. You know it's bad. God. You know, and Tucker Carlson's like, he's like breathing it in. He's memorizing the sort of the cadence of the stench. There he is, and he's suckling it.
No.
And you know Trump is mid-sentence about some misogynist joke. It's like there's a female caddy, and he's like, look at her. I wonder if the carpet matches the drapes, you know, like green down there, green up here. Like, you know, because they're on a green. The point is,
I get it.
You know it's sexist. And yeah. And then, of course, you've got Marjorie actual Greene over there. And
I'm
it
happy
is
with you right now.
The real point is this. If there was a fundraiser, if there was some elite event funded by the Chinese government that you saw Pelosi and Schumer and Joe Biden having a grand old time at, you would never hear the end of it.
Yeah.
And the fact that we don't look, 9/11 families begged Donald Trump to not have this event because of Saudi Arabia's role in those terrorist attacks. Did he listen to them? No, he did not. And I wish we had a media that wasn't so above dragging an event like this for being a Saudi like drenched event. Now, that being said, they don't call out Democrats either when Democrats, you know, vote to continually like fund, or when Biden continually sells Saudi Arabia weapons, right? That just keeps on rolling on. So again, they can't really call it out because they're utter hypocrites themselves. But it's just like, if this were Fox News and if this were a Chinese event, oh, we would never hear the end of it.
Yeah.
So I'm glad.
Yeah, it's about the money on both sides. They want those weapons to be sold, so they're not going to criticize it. They want those weapons to be used. Every missile that's fired at, you know, some innocent civilians in Yemen is another missile that presumably needs to be bought. And so it's very convenient for them. Now, some attendees, regular MAGA people, they're probably wealthy enough themselves, but they actually kind of agree with you, or at least they think they do. We got a couple of quotes from some people who attended. Dave Teed is a firefighter, said to Golf Week that he can deal with the Saudi Arabia thing, but if it was China or something like that, no way, I wouldn't be here. And I just want to ask, so my gut is to say yes, but you thought you would, if we'd asked you 5 years ago about the Saudi Arabia thing, you would have thought, you don't think that like with 2 months of monologues, Tucker Carlson couldn't flip you on that? That, oh, secretly we're taking down the communism, but I don't know why it's Trump instead of Tucker, but he'd do the same thing on the campaign trail. We're gonna take him down from the inside by sucking all the money out of them. Like they still think that they have principles that are disconnected, immune to the elite influence. No, that's where all of the things you believe come from. There weren't tens of millions of Americans who 2 years ago thought that every second grade teacher was a pedophile, but now there are. Mm-hmm. Because some media people yelled it at you, because Ron DeSantis screamed it at you. Now you all believe it. So you will believe about China whatever they want you to believe, Dave Teed.
Now you effectively think that China is worse than country that sponsored the worst terrorist attack in our nation's history. Like, what did China do? Oh, they made too many semiconductors. Like, what do you think they did? Oh, they spread COVID. Like, even that, even which again, once again, do we know? Is it real? Is COVID real yet? Is it still fake? That's true. Is it real? Did the Chinese create the fake thing, but that it had real impacts? I can never keep up. But that's, that already is a mind F, right, John? Like the idea that you would put China in a lower standing than, again, Saudi Arabia. That is months of watching Tucker Carlson.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, have problems with all the countries, and including ours.
Sure.
Expect more of Saudi Arabia and China. And also, yes, America. Expect more. Expect more of your elites. Expect more of Donald Trump. Expect literally anything. That would be my advice. Okay. They had a chant of 4 more years. I thought, how many people in the crowd think that he is president right now? Remember, have they moved on from that? They all thought that like America had become a business 102 years ago. And so Biden was secretly not actually president. He was a figurehead. Is that still going around? I haven't spent much time on their forums. You might have heard recently that Ivana Trump, passed away some time ago. Also, she was laid to rest at Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster in New Jersey, which by itself is interesting. I wouldn't have expected that considering how long ago their marriage ended. It almost, absent all context, seems sweet on some level that she or her family would consent to this, that he would want it to happen. It's almost romantic, but of course this is Trump, so we should probably interrogate that interpretation of events just a little bit. You can see some coverage of this here, by the way. The thing is, there is a theory going around that I am ill-equipped to say for sure whether it's true or not, that there was another reason besides, you know, a lingering vestige of till death do us part that led to her being buried at the golf course. Dartmouth sociology professor Brooke Harrington says that it might have something to do with taxes and cemeteries, saying that in New Jersey, there's no minimum number of bodies required for a plot of land to be designated a cemetery, and thus to then be exempt from all taxes, rates, and assessments. Business Insider then looked into that. They say that under New Jersey state tax code, any land that is dedicated to cemetery purposes is exempt from all taxes, rates, and assessments. That is true. Cemetery companies are also specifically exempt from paying any real estate taxes, rates, and assessments, or personal property taxes on their lands, as well as business taxes, sales taxes, income taxes, and inheritance taxes. Now, first of all, we're gonna get into whether we think this is plausible. I also wanna point out, as good as the lobbyists for like the gun manufacturers are, or like big pharma, or the energy companies, damn, the cemetery lobbyists have gotten some work done. Why are they exempt from all those taxes in the first place? I mean, like, we have to deal with the Trump thing, but they are getting away with murder over there. Anyway, we also know, maybe to justify the tax stuff. Tax documents also reveal that the Trump Family Trust recently sought to designate a property only 20 miles from the golf club to become a nonprofit cemetery company. So look, I think that we're going to have to check in on this a year or two later to see if there has been any attempt or success in avoiding taxes. As a theory to throw out there though, you can see why this would spread. That's a pretty spicy thing to say, that he had his ex-wife buried there to avoid some business taxes. I don't know that I buy it, Francesca, but what do you think?
He was definitely cutting corners and trying to save money. There is no doubt that there was a rationale for putting your wife, your former wife, into your golf course. Like, why? Why not put him somewhere else? Now, there's many different aspects to this, whether or not it becomes a tax thing, which I could definitely see happening. But I know that the original plans for this, for her eventual grave, and she did die unexpectedly soon, was going to be some sort of mausoleum, right? A place that you step into, or something big, or something, you know, beautiful. I'm sure those plans are in the works, but right now, it looks like a shallow grave that like someone trying to hide a body just threw together.
Francesca. Like,
I'm sorry. No. For real, dude. Rich people have rich ass graves. That's not a rich grave, bro. That is a I hated you in life grave. And yeah, she did him a fave and recounted her rape story of him. You know, that she discussed in 1993, and then said, "Oh no, that wasn't real. No, he didn't pull out clumps of my hair and then rape me because I told him to get a scalp reduction and blah 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 blah." Like she's already helped you out so much by just not talking about the monster that you are, and this is how you repay her in the afterlife. So I'm just like floored by the whole thing. Look, I think some people think it's so silly to like have a big mausoleum, but yeah, man, but that you don't understand rich thought. Rich people thought is like, no, build a giant, like some of the most incredible sites in our world are because rich people, powerful people wanted dope grave sites. Look at that pauper's grave.
Maybe it's temporary. Maybe the idea is that she can be relocated eventually. I don't know. What I do know though is, you know, he wanted to build a mausoleum. He's apparently been thinking about that for some time. He wants to have up to 1,000 possible graves there. It just seems so weird. But
if you want 1,000 graves there.
Well, it says there's no limit on how many have to be there for you to get it. Like they could make the claim maybe with the one. I don't see how that could possibly. What does it matter? He's a billionaire. Why is he dodging taxes? I don't understand these people. It's all fantasy money. It is only as real as the gold coins in the pocket of my Dungeons and Dragons character. It exists on a piece of paper or online and that's it. It doesn't have anything to do with anything, but it's so important to them. What I was gonna say though is, when he eventually builds the place that he is going to be interned, it is going to be just unbearable, gaudy and ugly. And also, there will be conservatives making pilgrimages to it for literally decades. And you know that it's true. It is going to be
every January 6th, we go and smear our feces in unison.
It's going to be like I don't know. And then suckle on the marble. No.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Anyway, okay.
No, there's going to be a statue. There's going to be a statue, and he's going to be a svelte MF-er. Like, he's going to look.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be very rocky. And I think that's going to be the most fun of all.
Yeah, I think
that. And you know, one of those statues, you know how, like, if you go to, like, you know, Rome, it's, oh, why is the bulge always the place where, like, people have touched the most? And it's, so it's gold because it's been, like, touched by and oxidized by the human hand. Yeah.
100%.
So is it the golden bulge?
At UConn, we had there's a husky statue. Our husky was our mascot, and for good luck, you'd rub its nose or whatever. I don't want to see what they rub for luck off that damn statue. Oh, yeah, the only thing less real than the money that they're so obsessed with is going to be the depiction of Donald Trump in statue form. I'll just say that.
John, do you think that Melania gets buried by the third hole, and then Marla gets buried by the second hole, just like in succession of the wives?
I want to guess that she wouldn't want to be buried there at all, but she's still with him. She's loyal. Maybe she will. We'll see. With that said, though, we do have to take our second break. When we come back, it was a rough weekend in some ways, and so you shouldn't be surprised that we will have a Monday Menace to greet you on the other side. We'll be back after this. Carmina says, RIP to my boyfriend who is a progressive named Brandon. Yeah. Who's had it tougher? The Karens or the Brandons over the last
Karens.
2 years?
Oh my God, Karens, yeah, for sure.
What do you do as a Brandon? How do you counter this?
You live your Brandon ass life, man. Brandons are all hot. You know what I mean? You're like Brandon. Like, you're just like, I don't know. Brandons have Brandon privilege. Karens already had a kind of a tough name to go to begin with. Let's be real. And now it's been, you know, yeah, quadrupled down on. And you just kind of have to, if you're a Karen, you just accept it. You lean in and you say, like, I'm one of the good ones. I think that's good.
I guess.
Because even rough. Men are being called the male Karens. Like, that's so sexist.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, some people tried Ken for a while, but then it became male Karen again. Yeah, I'm assuming there's a lot of Karens who've probably come up with new nicknames. You know how, like, Richard becomes Dick? I feel like there's probably something like that happening for the Karens, if I had to guess. Anyway, with that said, we are unfortunately falling just a little behind, but it's okay. We're going to catch up on the other side. Let's jump into this.
Let's say you've got a father who doesn't want to really be involved in the life at all, really. He knows that if she carries through the pregnancy, he's going to have possibly some sort of child support obligation. And so what he wants to do is he wants to, in a sense, encourage her to go and find a way to get an abortion, because he knows that if it's a certain individual, if he has any kind of familiarity with her, he knows that she might be of such a state of mind, she may be in such a vulnerable position that she decides it's not worth everything he's going to put me through to carry this pregnancy forward. It's going to be easier. It's going to be better for me to go and just terminate this life. And so what she does is she goes over to Virginia. She goes over to some other state where abortion is legal, and she goes and gets the abortion. And so I think that's a really clear possibility if we enact the Second Amendment here. I don't want to be doing anything whatsoever that is encouraging folks to go and get an abortion.
There's a lot that I don't know in politics. There's a lot that I'm not sure about in politics, but I am sure of this. Whether a person has bodily autonomy should, at the end of the day, be up to people like Chris Pratt, who you saw in that video, definitely. A guy who seems very confused about his own point. Now, he has a law practice, Pritt Law, specializes in divorce, custody arguments, and child support. And he seems to be making a pretty clear argument in that video that if child support exists, then that is going to influence whether a guy encourages a girl to get an abortion because he doesn't want to pay the money, so he wants to get rid of the kid. So we're going to get rid of abortion, which still leaves the guy in a difficult financial position that we're not going to help him in. and might lead him to do something even crazier since now abortion's illegal, but we're not going to address that. He seems to be making the argument for getting rid of it so that guys won't want the abortion because they won't have to pay child support. It's very confusing.
Yes.
And that's even before we leap in, like get into what the reference to the Second Amendment was doing in there. But Francesca, what do you make of this guy?
I mean, he's trying to make a case for his Pritt law offices, like his services. He's like, you know, what I'm trying to say is 555, like child support. That's what you call to call Mr. Pritt over here, and I will help you since you didn't want to support this child anyway. I'll help you get out of it. And if your partner won't support, then I will help you as well. Like, that's all he's doing. He's just trying to make a financial case for the fact that, like, lawyers like him are trying to, you know, leech off of working people. But the reality is this, yeah, man, it is a reality that a lot of men are not ready to be fathers because they are not financially able to be fathers.
Yeah.
Right? Whether or not they're with their partners, whether or not they are not with their partners, that is a perfectly legitimate, you know, concern. However, that is still the decision, I would argue, of the person who is pregnant, but it for sure is a factor, right? And so I feel like he's making the argument for abortion being legal, being legal. Again, not mandatory, right? Legal and safe and accessible. That's all. So, I mean,
well, he's also he's clearly acknowledging. So it is interesting that the point of view that he like enters in this conversation on is about the financial obligation on a guy to do child support, because he apparently his like default assumption is that they're not going to be together. He's just going to bolt or whatever. But what about the obligation of, I don't know, the person giving birth to the child? What about them? Like, you seem to acknowledge that that's a big burden. Would you like to do something about that? No, let's manipulate it in the other way. And someone in the chat is saying, Stephmont, thank you, says that it's just a coincidence that he's saying a Second Amendment. What he means is the Second Amendment to the bill that they're considering. Okay, so that's confusing, but that's a clarification there. All of this, regardless of what he meant to communicate, and we're gonna get to what he has said in the last couple in the last couple days, but he's acknowledging that financial strain. Mm-hmm. If you can acknowledge that, if you can say that that would strongly influence whether a person would want to have a child or not, then is that not something that we should consider? I don't feel like that's asking too much.
No, it's not. And it's actually, but it's also really sad that we have to, you know, generally consider the father's perspective or the person who's usually not the one giving birth's perspective in order to sort of like Rube Goldberg our way into empathy for the person actually carrying a child that they don't want. Yeah. like cool, whatever you need to do to understand what 50% of this population goes through and how you got onto this earth. Cool.
That's the closest approximation of empathy that they can do. It involves a mouse on a wheel and then the candle pops and then the candle, yep. I don't know. Anyway, he says a portion of the, how much time? Okay. Look, we're gonna bring it up. You can see he's at Pritt for the people. Chris Pritt, possibly even worse than Chris Pratt. He says that he is not actually saying we shouldn't have child support. It is possible that's true. It's possible that he just rung himself up into a knot of his own arguments. It's also possible that he's backtracking because of a massive amount of condemnation from around the country. I don't know the guy. We'll see what else he has to say. But this is the sort of person that believes your rights should be up to them. Let's just be clear about that. Now, with that said, for those of you, we unfortunately do have to end this first hour. There is more to come on the other side of the break. So if you're on Twitch, YouTube, some of the other platforms, Francesca and I will see you after this. Curtis Randolph says in a super chat, Tucker literally rubbing elbows with the former president at an international golf event. Exact. There's no image that you could conjure that would get through to these people that he is not one of them, that he's not on their side. He has to do such a fig leaf of populism for them to accept it. He is there to maintain the economic status quo, the class that is dominating our society, and to maintain his position as one of them. That's all it is.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.